Shalom, this is Billy Brim and
Chip Brim.
And this is the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you. We got two witnesses today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. One's Chip Brim, one's me. And we're witnessing, and I'm going to read you from my partner letter. That's going out to all my partners. If you want a copy, you can just call us and we'll send you one. It's very, very blessed, I believe. In 2007, my son Chip and I, I'm reading you from the letter, ministered in California. Then we were at the Kenneth Copeland Ministries West Coast Believers Convention. Chip was going to work for ORU in August. So I called Oral Roberts to see if we could come to see him. He invited us for lunch. Chip later said he was thinking as we ate that it was like eating with Abraham. In the plane, on the way to Oral Roberts' home, I heard the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord said, "Tell Oral Roberts that some men can choose the date of their departure from earth to heaven, as is revealed in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Others cannot. Two who cannot are Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, for the dates of their departures are in the sovereign plan of God, and at their departures there will be a major shift in the heavenlies." I trembled at the thought of telling Oral Roberts, but we had such a Holy Ghost encounter in his home that the word of the Lord flowed effortlessly. Brother Roberts wrote me a 7-page letter about that day. He began by writing about Chip. "What a splendid young man Chip is." This is a quote from him. "Anointed, loving, discipled. Also, I felt God's healing power touch his back. He is in my prayers. I gave you my blessing. I gave my blessing to Chip. Watch the Holy Spirit work it in you and through you. In Jesus' name." A painful football injury Chip was healed of years before was trying to come back on him. When we walked in, I asked Brother Roberts if he would lay hands on Chip for healing. He stood Chip in front of him, facing away from him, and holding his hands a few inches away from Chip's back, he started at Chip's left shoulder and moving his hand right, then went back and forth and down across the back. He would say, "Not here, not here," and then, "Ah, here it is." He put his hand over the exact spot near the lower right hip and prayed. "Ah," he said, "did you feel that?" The power of God surged through Chip's body. He said it felt like being struck. Well, what did it feel like? You're sitting here.
It felt like getting lightning bolt going through me or something.
Felt like the lightnings of God that John G. Lakes talks about?
I've never been hit like that before.
Never been hit. You said to me once, you said, "Mom, I've been hit by big guys."
Yeah, big guys and baseballs and everything else, but never like that.
But you were instantly healed?
Instantly healed, praise God.
Did it ever come back?
Never came back.
Yeah.
Never will.
Now, he ended that letter by saying, to me, "Finally, please know that I received your prophetic word that in finishing my course that at my death," and this he put in all caps, "something extraordinary will happen by the Holy Spirit." When I heard on December 16 that he had gone home, I took his letter in hand, sat down in my prayer chair, and began to seek the Lord. Specifically, I asked, "What is the major shift? What is the something extraordinary?" The voice of the Lord spoke strongly, and here's what he said. "Oral Roberts knew to tap the power. Others simply lap the power. They run laps around it as if it were a burning bush." Thoughts raced through my mind, and they were these. They know the power's there. They even preach about it, but they don't tap it. I saw that a Bible example is the woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5. A multitude thronged Jesus. They lapped the power, but the woman tapped the power.
They were even touching him.
They even touched him.
Yeah, and there was no power.
Yeah, no, nothing was released.
Right.
And Mark 5:30 says this, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'"
Somebody tapped in.
Yeah, somebody tapped. He felt virtue, King James says. But that word in the Greek is dunamis.
Mm-hmm.
And the dunamis power is that kind of power. Here's what it says about it. It's inherent power, the power of reproducing itself, from which we have the English dynamics and dynamo. In the plural, it's translated mighty works. In other words, the manifestation of God's power. So he felt that dunamis go out of him. And it is dunamis. "And you shall receive dunamis after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." In the New Testament church, when they prayed in Acts chapter 4 that God would stretch forth his hand and heal in the name of his holy child, Jesus, Then it says the apostles went everywhere working signs and wonders, witnessing the power of the resurrection. Mm. So this is a power. When you were healed that day, when he put his hand on your back, that was a witness of the power of the resurrection.
Mm. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the
dead. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, you said you had something about that shifting.
Well, somewhere in, you know, when he left and you know, the Lord told you there was going to be, or oral as well, that there was going to be a shaking or a shifting or something.
That's what the Lord said, a major shift.
In the heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
And I was preaching in Wisconsin to a men's group. I was also doing the church, but we went up for a men's group. And out of nowhere, in the middle of my sermon, it started coming out, and you know, we tried to trace it back, and it may have been right at that time, but it was.
You mean
a
at the
shifting,
time he was going home?
Yes, a shifting of momentum is happening in the body. A shifting of momentum, and
I
kept saying it over and over, a shifting in momentum. Well, you know, we just watched the Super Bowl. It was just recently here. And if you don't think momentum shifting is important, you should have watched that game, because there are things that shift the momentum. And once momentum is on your side, it doesn't matter what the score was. It doesn't matter if you're losing now. If your team has the momentum on their side, then look out, because it's going to change the whole outcome of the game. And the momentum shifting, and the things made the momentum shift during that game, that was a great example of shifting a momentum in that game, and the Saints end up with it. And they did things to cause the momentum to shift, and they were aggressive and did things. Well, I think of the body of Christ. You know, there are momentum shifting things we can do, and it's time for, I believe, that the momentum to shift in your favor. And it's been in the devil's favor, and you can think of it in the church that there's been certain eras or times where it's shifted towards his way, and then shifted in towards God's way or whatever. But in the end, we all know what the answer is going to be. We all know the income is going to be a glorious church.
Mm-hmm.
So the momentum's going to shift, and there's going to be a shaking, and something's going to happen. And I believe it's this tapping into the power and contending for this power that's going to shift the momentum in the church's favor, and we're going to do what God's called us to do.
Hallelujah. Now, I know I watched that game. I like sports.
Yeah.
And, of course, they did an onside kick,
yeah,
and they did
things.
Some other things. But when that guy came out of sailing out of nowhere, so to speak, and intercepted that pass at the last.
Yeah, different things.
The momentum was absolutely changed.
Just changed the whole game. And it was, you know, it started out, the Colts had the momentum. They had a couple drives. They were winning 10-0. Nobody had ever come back from a 10-point deficit in Super Bowl history. And then all of a sudden, little things happened. The Colts dropped a pass that, you know, and that gave the, you know, and there was a goal line stance and whatever, but then the onside kick and then the interception, different things, and it turned out.
And you saw it. You could see it.
You could see
feel
it.
It's electric. It's
the
in the air.
The announcers talk about it. At 2 or 3 days and still today, they're talking about the momentum shift. Well, it's time. Think about it. Whoever you are right now, wherever you're at, if you're in your car or in your home, isn't it time for the momentum to shift in your favor? Maybe the devil has had, or the enemy has had, the momentum in your home, in your family, in your finances, but it's time for the momentum to shift in your favor. And God says there are momentum shifting things we can do. And it's time, because the body of Christ is, we're going to have the momentum, the anointing, we have it. So we've got to do things like that. And we've got to contend for this power, this dunamis power that Mom has been teaching about.
Yes, and you're talking about contending, and really that word, I think, came to us when we were rereading John G. Lake's book describing the amazing operation of dunamis in his life. And he had a vision, the Portland vision. He'd moved to Portland and was praying about starting a new work. He walked across the street from his house to Mountain Tabor Park. Haven't you been there?
Yes, yes.
An angel who met him there said, "I have come to answer your prayers." Many things had happened. But then at the end of his taking Lake around the world, etc., Lake asked, "What constitutes real Pentecost? What ideals should be held before the minds of men as the will of God exhibited through a movement like this?" Lake reports, "During all this time, I had carried my Bible in my hand. Reaching for the Bible, he, the angel, opened to the book of Acts, ran his finger down over the second page, that portion where the Spirit of God came down from heaven, proceeding through the book of Acts to its great outstanding revelations and phenomena, he said, "This is Pentecost as God gave it through the heart of Jesus. Strive for this. Contend for this. Teach the people to pray for this. For this and this alone will meet the necessity of the human heart. And this alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness." When the angel was departing, he said, "Pray, pray, pray. Teach the people to pray. Prayer and prayer alone, much prayer, persistent prayer, is the door of entrance into the heart of God."
Well, the question is today, are you a contender? And, you know, if you think about the word contender, and my background in sports, you'd probably, first of all, think of a boxer. This is the champion. This is the contender. He's contending. He wants a shot at it. So what does he do? Well, he works every day. From sun up, before sun up until sun's down, just, you know, working and working.
Would you call that commitment?
Commitment, dedication, discipline, whatever it is. That's what contending is. Here it is. No excuses. I'm going to get it no matter the cost. No excuses. That's a contender. That's the mentality of a contender and a champion. And you know what? Sometimes, like the Rocky stories or whatever we hear, the contender wins. And so we need to contend for this power, the Holy Spirit, you know, this anointing, the anointing that God in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power.
You know what that word is?
Dunamis.
Dunamis.
He anointed him with it. Well, we have it in us when we
you
got
shall
born
receive
again.
Dunamis when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It is written, Acts 1:8.
And that's the supernatural. That's how the impossible can become possible. I believe what Lou Holtz said. I believe that God didn't create anybody to be just ordinary.
I do too.
I believe that. Why? Because he knows this dunamis power is there and available. But if we don't contend for it, there's not going to be a momentum shifting in your life. But the momentum is going to shift, and we have this, and it will shift the momentum. It will shake the heavenlies. It will do great things. We can do great things for God.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. You want to get Chip's wonderful revelation, I think it is, on the anointing. And as everywhere I'm going across the United States, people are telling me what they've done by saying that little statement that God gave you to give Rodney.
Yeah, and you know what? It doesn't matter what you do. And if you're not speaking it, you're not applying it. So we have to speak it.
You have to speak it. Oh, you'll really get it from this. You might want to order some for your children, for your sons, for your husbands, or wives. This is the anointing. Just call and say, "I want those CDs on the anointing by Chip, or a DVDs, mm-hmm. or I want his book." Now, we're giving special prices. You can get the CDs or the DVDs for $10 each, and the book is for $5. Are you a champion for Christ? Just call us at 1-800-972-3447. And we're getting partners for Champions for Christ.
And
if you'd like
goodness.
To be Chip's partner, just call us, 1-800-972-3447, and make your pledge, or write Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri.